Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, Second Counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today we will be talking about keeping your sanity in a home filled with little ones. I'm joined today with two special guests, Sister Linda S. Reeves, who is the Second Counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you. So great to be here.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you. You have so much to offer and so much experience, both in the church, serving, and especially within the home. So tell us just a little bit about your family.
Well, we have 13 children, and the youngest is now 20 and on a mission, but I have had a daughter and her husband and three children living with us for the last couple of years, so we really have not yet had a break from children in all
empty
of
nest.
Our
nest. What is that exactly?
Yes, that's right. But we're happy about that.
From what age to what age? The youngest is 20 now.
Yes, my oldest is about your age. She'll
so
turn 39. No, 28. 39. She has seven children, and in fact, we have quite a few grandchildren, so I do watch what's happening in those homes too.
The reason I ask is because when we talk about being in a home with little ones, there was a stage in your life with 13, then you had quite a few little ones, not just one or two, but quite a few there that you're dealing with in your home.
Well, that is true. It seems like there were always we had quite a mix at a time, and that's challenging when you have different ages. But
sure, and I think we'll be talking about that because it's difficult to be all things for all people all at the same time. I think that's one of the great challenges within a home. So I'm excited to learn from you. We also have joining us today is Lorraine A. Roberry, who is a member of the General Primary Board. Welcome.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, I have five children, ages 39 to 24, and I am a mother of 14 grandchildren.
Oh, great.
And I have loved being a mother.
I'm actually grateful for the way that this tone has been set, because the title of this might seem a little bit on a negative side for some individuals when we say keeping your sanity. It's like, what, is insanity prevalent? And that's not the point at all. But actually being in family is sometimes it's a little bit difficult. It can be challenging because we're pulled in many different ways, as mentioned, trying to do so many different things. And finding a way to keep peace, to find direction and solace in these tasks, whatever that might be, is always the important thing to keep in mind. So this is where I love what you're saying, is both of you are so positive about this experience, which, by the way, I think it is easy to be positive. I love being a mother and a grandmother. I love being in the home. This is something I think is very important. Does that make sense at all?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, there is no more greater joy than being a mom and being a grandmother. And at this stage of my life, I look and I watch my own children raise their children, and it is so rewarding. And you can see the overall, a bigger picture in the overall plan, and it makes more sense the older you get. And you understand it and you appreciate it, and you realize that a lot of the decisions that you made as a young person on faith, that you're reaping the rewards now.
This is nice. This is really a good comment. As a matter of fact, as you're saying this, I think sometimes, and Elder Holland has often said that the work of a mother is hard and often unheralded. But what you're saying is when you look at the overall picture, you start to see that what might be unheralded by the world actually has significant elements in both today as well as in the future. Is that fair?
Yeah, Linda? I would say that.
I loved what Sister Roberry said about the perspective you get as your children get older and you start to see and feel the rewards. I admit that yesterday in our office we received a letter from a young mother of three who was basically deflated and all the comments that she gets about how, you know, enjoy your children while they're young because they grow up so quickly. And these kinds of things are actually somewhat discouraging to her because she's feeling all the weight of little children now and not yet able to completely see that great perspective. I do remember feeling that once my children got to be about age 12, where sometimes no longer are you the most important thing in their in their eyes, they start to really revere what their peers are saying and doing. But up until that point, and then it seems like they're out of the home so quickly. But when I had nothing but little children, those years didn't pass with the same kind of speed that they seem to later on. And so I think it's important to be aware of a lot of the needs of those younger mothers who are feeling the weight of it and can't quite yet see that wonderful perspective and all the rewards that are going to come. As we're older, now I look at those mothers and have an opportunity to maybe help, maybe go sit by them at church or call them or drop over and help with laundry or something that they might be willing to let you help with to help them get through and see the perspective that we now see.
This is really good, and you've touched on so many things. I hope we can explore through many of those layers that you were talking about. But perhaps first and foremost, I like what you're saying is acknowledging that this is difficult, and sometimes it does feel overwhelming. And I think that time is such an interesting experience. It's so relative. As I have a daughter, for example, who's serving a mission. She's at the very beginning, just left the MTC. She's been in France now for just a couple of weeks. And I have people come up and will say, oh, time goes by so fast. Can you believe she's already? And I'm thinking, actually, it hasn't been going very fast. It's like, it seems like, it's dragging on and she's been gone forever and there's still forever to go. Uh-huh. And then in other cases, it's like you blink and then mm-hmm. that time has gone. So I like what you're saying is, first of all, is to understand and be empathetic or sympathetic of situations that individuals are in, and it is difficult, and that time sometimes does not seem to be flying by. Also, when we talk a lot with mothers and in family situations, people feel guilty. They feel guilty because they feel like they're overwhelmed. And they're saying, wait a second, I have the gospel of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. I shouldn't feel overwhelmed or harried or in a situation where I can't get things done because I have the gospel. Does that make sense? And they feel guilty that they feel the pressures of real life. What do we?
I think, I've got two daughter-in-laws and a daughter that are married and have families. And as I watch them, I am so touched and so inspired by their devotion to their children and their desire to teach them the gospel. And oftentimes I look at them and I think, I did that, but I can't remember all of the details. And I think maybe somebody else raised all my children. I know that's not true because I remember the feelings of exhaustion and I remember the feelings that it was hard. You know, there were a lot of things that we needed to work through and actually been going through some journals. And I just had to laugh because there were so many times that I would say, oh, and I'm really frustrated with this child because they aren't doing this and I really want them to do this, or this child brought me so much joy or they did this and it was so cute and so fun. And as I read that, I thought, you know, it's really important that we plug into the joy. It really is that every day we look at the joyful things because it is hard and you need to look for the joy and look for the darling things they say and the cute things they say and the moments of love that come and realize that it's a whole picture. It's just not all nice. One way or the other,
sure.
You know.
You know, you said something that I think is very inspiring. I was thinking of something I've been doing, as mentioned, with my daughter. When she went into the MTC, so on her first day, I dug out my old missionary journal and read my first day. So I've been following along with her mission. And it's really been a lovely experience in a way. But the thing that I didn't expect is what you just touched upon. And that's why I think maybe there's something here that is important. I had forgotten actually how difficult it is to learn a language. And so I remember that MTC experience of, oh, I worked hard and we just, you know, stick to it and the language comes. And that's the kind of advice that I would give. But having read through my journal, I remember looking at these entries that it was like I had forgotten everything I learned 5 minutes ago. And I felt obviously like I was letting the Lord down. I'm letting Heavenly Father down. He's asking me to do a big task. And then at the bottom was, I love this place. I love the MTC. This is the best experience. What you're saying was an interesting outline there of there was a difficulty in remembering that. But at the same token, having the joy in the service that I was doing was an interesting mix. And as a result, it helped me, I think it's helping me, to have a different way that I write my daughter to have realistic experiences with her mission. Now, so I didn't mean to grow too personal on that one, but what you were saying, I thought, isn't it interesting, is you said you went back and you've been reading in journals, is I wonder if a good tool, so help me with this, because you're the experts. I wonder if a good source and a good tool is for mothers in these situations or during these times is to keep a journal and to record their experiences and the, you said, positive, joyful experiences as well in the mix, because sometimes you can go back and reflect on it, if I understood you correctly, and say, you know what? I can do difficult things, and I am surviving, and there is joy in this experience of being able to see that. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think, too, when we realize that hard things are the things that make us grow, and they're not bad. They're good.
Oh, right.
And once we realize that and we have something hard come into our life, then we say, well, okay, what am I supposed to learn and how can I do this? And Heavenly Father, help me to do this, you know? And I think that's one of the main things I would hope that my children have learned is that hard things are, that's part of life, and that we turn to Heavenly Father when we need His help.
Oh, I really like this. I think of the pioneer heritage that we have in the church. How do we even know about that? Recorded journals, and they record difficult times, but that's filled with faith. And what a treasure to leave to posterity. But even in the moment, I think that there was great healing and encouragement for those pioneers who would record the events of the day. And then, well, you know, the theme song, All Is Well. You know, all is well. We can do this. We can walk a little bit farther, maybe not to Zion tomorrow, but one step at a time, we're going to get there. And then often journals also show us how far we've come. This is really interesting.
Well, I kept a journal particularly well when my children were growing up. But I also think that, you know, today's world is so fast-paced. And my mother used to always say to me, When you children were young, I stayed home. And she'd repeat that all the time, I think hoping that I would take that message and start staying home. But, you know, my mother didn't drive for a number of years until she had about four children. And when I look at the lives that my daughters and sons lead now, I just think it's almost as if I stayed home because they are out even so much more. And I think That's something we really have to consider, that there are a lot of things I think that young mothers and parents feel pressured into doing because they see everybody out else out there doing soccer and dance lessons and music and this and that and the other. And I hope that parents do not feel pressured to go and do these things. Again, when I think back on this little letter that we got, actually a long letter yesterday, I just see pressure to, and you bring up journals, and I love going back to those journals, and they give me so much perspective. But I also think, is there somebody out there who's looking for help, and now they're saying, I have to keep a journal too?
Oh, yeah. And as a matter of fact, we wouldn't want to come across saying you have to keep a journal. We're looking for just ideas. And this is an interesting thing is in the technology today is keeping a journal, for example, for me, means I sit down and I record every event. And yet I look at my own children and the way that they record their experiences is often as they're talking on the phone, they'll hit the record button. They
Which
look
is
at
great.
The yeah, it's really
a whole
amazing.
New game.
It is. Yes. And I look at my daughter where she sends pictures with little captions and I'm thinking, boy, this is an interesting journal. Today I'm playing in the closet with the kids. And in a way, I think at least in a decade or so ago, we probably wouldn't call that a journal, but actually that's an interesting element. She finds herself going back and looking at these fun pictures with great memories. Same
photo journal.
It is. Well, it is different ways.
I have a daughter-in-law that she does a Blogspot, and she will send us family pictures. They live in Denver, so she sends us pictures and then little, you know, hashtags of what's going on. At the end of the year, she can take that, and they will actually bind it into a book for
her. Oh, this is a great idea.
Yeah. And so she takes that, and that is her record of her children and their activities. She has pictures and little journaling you know, that goes along telling what the events of the year and showing all of her
what
children.
What a great idea.
Yeah, so it's very easy. And I have to say, I didn't journal every day. In fact, I had to laugh because I would let go for 6 months and sometimes even a year. But then I would pick up again, and it was always interesting to see when the breaks were, you know, and how. And I think that's one of the things that I think I learned as a mom is that you have to be really flexible. You have to prioritize, but at the same time be very flexible.
This is good.
Because children are flexible, and you have to become that way for them. And you have to be able to drop something, and you have to be able to move on whatever is important at the moment. And so, I know that we really need to be kind to ourselves and give ourselves pats on the back and say, if you're trying your best and your heart is in the right place, you're doing a good job. You don't have to have a clean house all the time, and you don't have to have everything all lined up and right in your journal. It's really, you know, trying to find out what Heavenly Father wants you to do and how He wants you to do it, and moving forward in a very relaxed, loving, nurturing way. And I think that's the most important thing.
This is nice. As a matter of fact, I think the intentionality of a disciple is to prioritize the most important things. So when Jesus Christ, for example, is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, He says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." But really, if you look at the context of that entire chapter of what's happening, He's talking about priorities. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all other things will be added unto it. So when we look at this experience of what's taking place with the Savior, He's saying there's going to be a lot of things going on, but learn to seek the priority. I was traveling up to Salt Lake with my wife, and she does this quite often, which I'm grateful for. She reads things to me while we're in the car. I've been reading this really great book. Let me read a little snippet, and it ends up she reads for 45 minutes. But I thought it was very germane to what we are talking about here, and it's a new book, and I'm not advertising by any way, but it's a new book by Sister Nelson, and it's a book about what would a holy woman do. That's the title of it. And it's about her quest to find out, well, what would a woman who's trying to be holy do? And that's a simple question. She invited people to try this out. And what you were saying rang a bell to me is, wait a second, what should I be doing? What would a woman of discipleship do in a situation? And they bring up these great little stories, real life stories of, I have laundry to complete and I have two little ones at home. And so what would a holy woman do? And this woman said, I felt impressed that I should be with my children. And now laundry tends to pile up and tasks get bigger and bigger. And yes, people feel we should keep a tidy house or whatever. But she felt that this is where I should be. And so she sought that way and she started to do things with her children. And one of her little children said, Mom, this is my first day I love. And she goes, why? Because you're with us. And she goes, I'm with you every day. She goes, no, today you're with us. You're doing things with us. And she said it was an inspirational experience to see that while she has to take care of many different things, is in that moment at that time, she was thinking, I need to be here, and was able to be flexible enough to choose to do that greater part. And I think that that's sometimes the hard part for disciples is seeking priority and being able to be brave enough to choose and be flexible.
I agree.
When I was actually, the hardest time for me with motherhood was when I had nothing but little ones, which I'm sure you relate to, Sister Roberry, too. And because it got easier once you had an older child that could help out. But I felt like the house was always a mess, and I never could quite get on top of things. Not only that, but I didn't feel like I was treating the children the way I had always dreamed of,
right,
of treating them. And so my husband and I just spent really the object of our prayers and scripture study and going to the temple was, what do we need to do differently, or where do we get the help? And as we pled with the Lord about that, the answer that came to us is, it doesn't matter. All these other things that we've talked about, that your house is clean and that you're getting the less important things done, just do the things that Heavenly Father's asked you to do in the home that are so important. And we felt that what he was telling us is that prayer and scripture study with our individual scripture study, but our family scripture study and family home evening needed to be done. And if we got those done in a day, then we could feel great about the day. And truly, there were times that the children were not dressed by noontime, and all they might have eaten was Cheerios. But that was okay if we had had our prayers, and at some point, you know, we had just a few minutes even to study the scriptures together. And I found that over the years, that gave me confidence before the Lord. And I felt like that's all he really cared about. And that helped us to, that helped me to speak more kindly and to, and like you're saying, Brother Richardson, what would a holy woman do? You feel you've done the things that will bring the Spirit and help guide and direct you. And that helps you know what to do.
Oh, this is really good. As a matter of fact, what would a holy woman do? When you're describing that, I think this is what holy women do. And then you said something else. A holy woman will give all that she has to the most important things. It's lay whatever we have on the altar. And I think for many individuals, they say, well, I don't have very much. Boy, there's a great little tale of the widow's mite is you give all that you can. And I think of Elder Holland in a talk that he gave on mothering where he said this. He says, if you try your best to be the best parent you can be, you will have done all that a human being can do and all that God expects you to do. So he's expecting us to do our very best. Now, share with me something else here. You said something that I thought was really fascinating. You said the object of our scripture study, our temple attendance, and our prayers was about what I could do in our home with my children. And I thought that was interesting. Tell me a little bit more about what do you mean by the object of my scripture study, the object of my prayers? As I'm trying to lead here in a way that I'm thinking there's something going on here. It's not just, oh, I better read my scriptures today, and so let's pull something out. But you said the word, the object of my study was intended to bring about knowledge or gain or
to feel the Spirit, to be guided, to help your children have an intimate spiritual experience with you.
Good.
Two, where the gospel starts to get deep into their hearts, where they begin to have an understanding of the love that Heavenly Father has for them and his awareness of them.
Good. This is very helpful. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we say things like, well, if you have a lot of, let's say, children that are under the age of six in your home and they're running around and things are chaotic and stuff, what can I do? Read your scriptures and hold family night. And sometimes for families in that situation, they're saying, every time I hold family night, it's like more chaos comes.
Chaos.
Every time I try to do righteous things, it seems like Laman and Lemuel come out of the woodwork and they're complaining. And it's like herding cats. I can't keep everybody in the same room for more than 5 minutes. But I like what we're saying here. There's so many things that I think are so important. It's not simply read your scriptures, but find a time to read scriptures with the intent to find answers and directions for the circumstances of which you're involved. And I know in my personal life, and I think that you testified of this in a roundabout way, or actually quite explicitly, is the Lord will provide answers in our prayers if we are seeking not just to pray, but to pray for strength in particular circumstances. How can I handle my situation today with the ages of kids that I have, etc.? The object of our worship and seeking help, help will come if we're intentionally seeking that.
You know, I think in Handbook 2, the leadership principles, the very first one is prepare spiritually. And if there's ever a leadership role that we have, it's in our homes. And that is the number one thing on the list. And that invites the Spirit, that helps you to be more patient. It helps give you insights. And I think a lot of times when we have chaos in our lives, when we're raising children and we're trying to do these religious practices like have family scripture study in the morning and it's little ones and you think they don't understand, or family home evening, I think a lot of times it's not necessarily the lesson that you're teaching, but it's the example that you're teaching, that this is the number one priority in our home. Heavenly Father, we want to do what Heavenly Father wants us to do, and that when we do it, we're being obedient, And when you're obedient, you're blessed in spite of the fact of the chaos and the difficulty.
I agree. And I think that's such a great point. You know, I'm gonna go on the edge here and reveal one of the great well-kept secrets of adults. And that is, sometimes adults really don't know exactly what they're doing in any given moment. It's kind of the, I don't think we like to talk about this. And so what we do is we say, we think that we know all the answers and stuff. And when I became a father, for example, it was like, holy cow, something was not translated to me. Something was not told to me. They didn't reveal the great secrets because I don't know what I'm doing half of the time. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's one of the great secrets we keep in. And then when these young mothers come in and then they have young ones in their family, they're on the edge of their knowledge. And it's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. Now, you're nodding. This is radio, so no one else can see the nodding. So I see the nodding here. And so I think that you've probably felt this as mothers in your own circumstances. What advice or counsel might you offer, or things that you've experienced, to mothers who are in a similar situation saying, okay, but it's chaotic and it's fast paced and stuff. I don't know what I'm doing. What did you find to help in situations like that, to say, where can I find help in circumstances where I'm not quite sure what to do? What could we offer?
Well, you know, I think that you go to principles and you try to incorporate them into your life. I know that for me, there were a couple of principles that were important.
Okay.
And in fact, I talked to a cute mother of nine this morning on my way in and was asking her, because her life's totally chaotic, absolutely out of control, chaotic, but she is the most fabulous, incredible mother and is doing this wonderful job. And she said, you know, I make sure that I read my scriptures. And she said, I have them, and sometimes I have to go in the bathroom to read them to get any moment peace. And she said, then I breathe deeply. She said, I do my Lamaze breathing all the time. So she tries to be patient with her children and realize. And I think one of the things we need to realize that raising children takes time. They're not going to be perfect at anything. It's really a learning experience, and that a good teacher is patient. And so as moms, we need to be patient, and that's really hard. In fact, so I was reading in my journals, I realized how I wasn't as patient as I needed to be. But then at the same time, I think Heavenly Father compensated because he knew I was trying my best and that I love my children.
That's nice. I really like this, and I think that's so helpful to understand those experiences, is there is help, and whether it be practical help from someone that you learn from, like your own mother or mothers in a ward or people that you admire. I love what you're saying, is our Father in Heaven will seek or will give divine help when mm-hmm. we seek it.
Yes, calling upon the powers of heaven and knowing that truly you mentioned, I mean, we are all novices as new parents, and then by the time you become grandparents, you know more of what you're doing, but you have to step back and then let your children experience what you experienced. But the Lord, he wants to help you in everything that you do, and he will not leave you alone. And then I think we need to also be willing to ask for help. Someone pointed out to me the other day that the young men, young women, they're anxious to come over and help you and would sit with you at church or would come and help you around the house. And you're a visiting teacher. How much would you love a call from someone you visit teach who says, I need you today. Can you come and, you know, come and help? And hopefully parents, I know we have a lot of single parents out there, and that presents more challenges. But I hope, as Elder Clayton mentioned in this last conference, I hope parents are working together, and that the father does come home. Sometimes it's a mother working too, but comes home and they help each other. And Elder Clayton mentioned, as often as you can, putting the children to bed together and reading
right.
to them at night. We really are a team if we're in a team situation, and hopefully many are, but
This is a good, and I like what's being said here, is when we focus on principles, then practices start to align appropriately. And sometimes the hard part is figuring out the practice, meaning how do I do that? But if we talk about principles of truth, patience, this working together, and in circumstances where you might have a single parent, as far as that goes, there are other resources. Well, who can I work with appropriately to be able to meet the needs of the necessary? But there is a team element there, or working with the children, finding ways to do this. So I like what we're saying here, and sadly, we are out of time, which is the worst part of everything, is we're just getting and covering some of these experiences. But fortunately, we have a second episode where we can explore this a little more deeply of challenges and what we can do with children in the home. But if there's anything that I pulled from what you have been saying and have felt quite strongly from what you are saying, is this concept of this is important work. This is really important. Looking at the big picture, understanding that this is a slice of time that's going to be part or parceled together to make what we call life, and it's experiences. But most importantly, and I could feel, I could sense this emotionally in both of your voices and watching you as you're speaking, but also feel this in my heart, is this concept of we do have help from a divine Father in heaven. He does ask us to do things which stretch us a bit. All of us, every stage of life. I'm still being stretched. And I thought, wait a second, I thought stretching was done. I'm in the old stage of life, you know, But when he asks, he does provide support. And so perhaps we could just end at least this episode with a statement from Elder Jeffrey R. Holland in this talk. I just love this talk. It was given in General Conference entitled, Because She is a Mother. I just love this. But he said, you can't possibly do this alone, but you do have help. The Master of heaven and earth is there to bless you. He who resolutely goes after the lost sheep, sweeps thoroughly to find the lost coin, waits everlastingly for the return of the prodigal son. Yours is the work of salvation, and therefore you will be magnified, compensated, made more than you are, and better than you have ever been as you try to make honest effort, however feebly you may sometimes feel. Isn't that great? Thank you so much for your comments, and I look forward to exploring more on this topic and finding ways that the gospel informs and helps us in our families. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.